You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Brighton and Beverley on Tuesday afternoon. Leicester and Newton Abbott provide the action in the evening. We'll also have some racing over in Ireland on Tuesday evening as well from Ballinrobe. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good. Thanks, Mark.
Good man. Now we're going to start with a look back at some of the stuff from Royal Ascot using the Racing Post's Monday jury, and then we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. Mick's got four races for us there. Before we get stuck into the Monday jury though, Mick, you enjoy Royal Ascot?
Yes, it was a good week, wasn't it? A little bit of something for everybody. Great international flavour. Some tremendous finishes. There was a wonderful stat there that I noticed that... How many races were decided by less than half a length? It was
15.
15. It was quite amazing, wasn't it? Some thrilling finishes for the big crowds and the 150 countries that the pictures were televised to as well, Mark.
Yeah, good stuff, wasn't it? And the new race as well, the Commonwealth Cup, that seemed to go down well as well.
Yeah, brilliant, wasn't it? And poor old Amato just ran into one, didn't he?
Yeah.
One or two were sort of dismissing his performance. I thought, well, he beat the rest that turned up. It was only that sort of horse who came and did him, and he didn't even have him to race with, did he?
So no.
I thought he ran a tremendous race, Lamarto, and Henry Candy must be justly proud of him.
Yeah, because the concern before the race was that he hasn't really grown much since he was 2 years old, and obviously they were saying the others might have caught up to him now, but he proved he's still bang
absolutely
there.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, let's get stuck into the Monday jury then. The first question, Glen Eagles versus Solo in the Sussex Stakes. Give us your thoughts. I've just got a bit of betting here as well for the Sussex. It's 11-10 for Glen Eagles and Solo is 6-4. Should anybody want to have a bet now?
Yeah.
Which way would you lean, Mick?
Well, I it's going to be a fascinating clash of the generations, isn't it? I mean, there just seem to be plenty of older good milers about. So, and Solo's the best of them by a margin. So Glen Eagles is going to have to be pretty smart to even receiving the weight for age off Solo. So at this moment in time, I would go with Solo, although I did think that Glen Eagles looked back to the horse that won the Guineas. Wasn't so impressive in the Irish Guineas for whatever reason, but definitely back to himself at Ascot. And it'll be a fascinating race between them. The generation clashes always are, aren't they, Mark? And this will be one to savour.
Yeah, it's just the weight for age thing, isn't it? Does it level the field? Because Solo's time was the quicker of the two, and he's obviously got that little bit more experience, but he's a classy sort, isn't he, Glen Eagles? So it will be a really interesting match between the two.
Just depends how good the three-year-olds are, Mark, doesn't it? Which I think the jury is definitely out on that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Mm. On to the second question, which where do you see the July Cup going in the wake of the Royal Meeting?
Well, I think undrafted... looks a proper horse. I mean, he burst out the stalls. Frankie sort of said, well, we're not getting mixed up in this early gallop here. And he put him to sleep and brought him with a brilliantly timed run. I thought Brazen Bull ran a fantastic race in defeat. But the one who might come and beat them all is Muhara, who he just oozes class, doesn't he? After he dropped back to six from running in the Guineas, and just showed you what a good horse he is at that distance. Although Charlie Hill seems to think he's not trip dependent. He said he's top class at any trip. So it's going to be a great race, isn't it? And they're the three to concentrate on.
The third question, which two-year-olds will you be following from now on?
Good call, isn't it? Acapulco looked freaky, didn't she?
Yeah, she's massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah, and we were talking, I was working that day, and we were saying that we wondered if the think about having a crack at the Nunthorpe with the two-year-old weight allowance and the fillies allowance, etc., etc. I'd be getting Franny Norton booked now, wouldn't you? Yeah. And yeah, so we'll have to see what happens there. But yeah, we saw some very good Tour of performance. I thought Ballydore was a bit unlucky not to win her race. And there was an unlucky horse in the Norfolk, and that was Willie Haggis's Ajaya. Just had the one run at Nottingham. I'm sure bags of promise in a race that's going to work out really well. Fly leaped out the stalls. Didn't just miss the break. Fly leaped was sort of up in the air for what seemed like half an hour. By the time he came down to earth, they'd gone by about five, beaten less than three. And he got hampered as well. So you can definitely upgrade. And I would say keep an eye on Ajaya for the remainder of the season. That was only the third start, don't forget. And it was just, they'd been in the stalls a while, and it just, was that keen to get out, just fly jumped. And it wasn't sort of a stalls aversion or anything like that.
No.
Just a freaky one.
Yeah, and the fact that he finished seventh, people might overlook that as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
might get... you want to look at the distance beaten.
Yeah. Just going back to Ballydoyle as well, mate, before we move on. Only a second start. She was green as grass on her first outing. Improved on that this time. Only beaten narrowly. For them to call her Ballydoyle, they must think a lot of her. And she's just going to keep improving, isn't she, I imagine?
Oh, definitely. She's got sort of Cheveley Park written all over her, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Give us one or two from the Ascot handicaps who you think will win next time out.
I think the Wolverton is probably the handicap that'll throw up plenty of winners in big races coming up. I wasn't terribly impressed with some of them. I thought Britannia was a bit below par this year, and usually normally a red hot handicap. But the Wolverton, the winner Marsoub, he's unlikely to be among them because he's probably going to be in group company, isn't he, from now on?
Yeah.
But it will throw up plenty of handicap, big handicap winners in the coming weeks and months, the Wolverton. But the one possibly to take out of the Wokingham is Watchable. From where he came from, to finish as close as he did. Now, his mark of 108 means he's not going to be that easy to place. But when you think prior to the Wokingham, he'd run into Gold Dream and a stare in his first two starts this season.
It's not bad form, is it?
It's not bad, is it? And I don't know how David's going to play that one, because, he won't be easy to place off 108. But, 108 probably gets you into the Air Gold Cup with about 8-1 nowadays, doesn't it? But wherever he goes, he's a proper horse, he's Watchable. And that was a tremendous run in the world, especially where he came from. He was the only one of the where around him that came from as far back behind as he did.
Yeah.
So he's definitely one to go on the shortlist for wherever O'Mara sends him next.
All right, Watchable to keep an eye on then. Who is the unluckiest loser at Royal Ascot?
Well, there was two, weren't there? Always Smile and the Grey Gatsby.
Yeah.
I don't know which one was the unluckiest, because there were both various reasons for it. The Grey Gatsby just kept in by aggressive jockeyship, and Always Smile lost hers through non-aggressive jockeyship. So you take your pick, but there were the two unlucky losers of the week.
Yeah.
And I thought Kingfisher looked unlucky in the Gold Cup as
well. Yeah, I was going to say, we should mention that.
Yeah, one that I know Ryan had 9 winners, but that one will be hurting.
Yeah. He got mullered all the way through, didn't he?
Yeah.
He couldn't get a run, yeah.
Yeah.
Would have won as well, I imagine. So.
Yeah.
I think Brazen Bow was unlucky as well, just with the draw. Best horse in the race by a long way, if it was on level terms. But he raced alone, didn't he, down the near
stand. That's
right.
I think I touched on that when we mentioned the July Cup. He didn't have the winner to race with, did he?
No.
Which was, you couldn't really sort of judge it on that. So I think it'd be a fascinating rematch in the July Cup with Muhara in there to mix it up a bit.
Mm. Aside from the obvious, which jockeys and trainers' performances at Ascot stood out?
I think David O'Mara to get Amazing Maria back. She looks as if she'd really lost the plot. They all had a go with her, and they had done look. She looked quite impressive in her younger days, and then lost the plot completely. Ran in the Oaks, probably shouldn't have done. But O'Mara to get her back to that, and there's no fluke about it as well. She was ridden with bags of confidence, as if they totally expected it. And that was tremendous performance. And I suppose Time Test was given a great ride, wasn't he? Roger Charlton did really well to get him in that frame. There were so many, weren't there? You know, I mean, where do you start and where do you stop? You could go through each race individually and highlight something out of each race. It was a great meeting with some highs and some lows as well. I think one or two jockeys let themselves down over the 4 days for one reason or another. But it was a great week for the Irish, wasn't it? 8 winners the Islands had. It was like a mini challenge for them, wasn't it? Well done to Aidan O'Brien for getting his string ready on the day as ever. You know, with Joseph there in the background with him, Aidan's life's going to get a lot easier with Joe doing a lot of the sort of spade work that Aidan's had to do on his own until Joe matured enough to help. They're a formidable team now, those two, and it's going to last for a long time as well. So, yeah, never to be underestimated. The Ballydore boys, are they anywhere? And especially when they set the sights on a meeting like Royal Ascot.
Yeah, I read a quote after one of the races as well, and that asked Aidan O'Brien whether Joseph O'Brien will be more involved with the training side of things now that Ryan Moore's going to get the pick of the rides. And Aidan O'Brien probably said, I just do what Joseph tells me.
Yeah, well, more or less, yeah.
Something like that, anyway.
I think he's got a brain and a half for young Joe, and as I say, I think it'll make Aidan's life a lot easier.
Yeah, some team that, isn't it? You got those two, and then you got Ryan Moore riding for you as well. It's formidable, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Mm.
And here's the obvious that the question alludes to, but Ryan Moore breaking the record for, or the modern era record of number of winners at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, and he did it sort of in the old, broke the old 4 day record as well.
Yeah.
Which he didn't need the fifth day, did he? In fact, he drew a blank on the fifth day.
Yeah, did,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, just one of those things. But it was a great week all round, and they were blessed with the weather, weren't they? Even Saturday, which promised to be, if the forecast had been correct, horrendous, it was pretty okay. So a great week all round.
Yeah, it was great Royal Ascot this year. But we must move on. We've got Tuesday's racing fast approaching, and Mick's got four races for us.
I was hoping you were forgetting about that one.
We've got to find the winners along the way, Mick. Mm. Anyway, let's get Mick's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start at Brighton in their 3 o'clock, and this one is a class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 7 here, Mick, so it kind of scuppers any each way ideas a little bit. But who'd you side with in there?
Well, Flying Bear, like most of his stable companions, comes here in great form, doesn't he? He's won 2 Polytrack handicaps so far this year, but he's equally as good on turf. And although this is his first time here at Brighton, his Goodwood record suggests that undulations don't faze him. So with the stable in good form, it marks unchanged, and I think that gives him every chance. Flying Bear, Ask the Guru is knocking on the door. Well, I say knocking on the door. He won at Lingfield, but he's been knocking on the door on the turf, and this is a touch easier than Sandown, where he just got beaten in the neck by Royal Brave recently, with Extra Solar, who reopposes back in third. And although he's gone up £2, he has run well off higher in the past, so he's not discounted. And the other one is Storm Lightning, trained by Mark Brisbane. Cam Hardy's taken off 3. Had a big weight at Bath last time when he did disappoint, but he had 10 stone, and a few horses underperformed for whatever reason at Bath that evening. Coming back here to Brighton, where he's got good stats, will help. Nothing in hand of the handicapper, so Cam Hardy's claim will help, but I do think it all points to Flying Bear, Mark.
Flying Bear for Mick then. In the 3 o'clock, we move to Beverley for the 3:15 next, and this is a class 4 handicap over the extended mile and 1 furlong. It's just short of a mile and a quarter, really. It's for 4-year-olds and older. Field of 8 here, Mick. Who'd you side with in there?
Yeah, well, there's a couple down the bottom coming here on the back of wins and course and distances as well. They are Tim Pennelly, who's on the hat trick, trained by Dave Griffiths. David Allen taking the ride, and he's got the 6-1 penalty for the last of those wins. He's up 2 grades with the penalty, and that's going to demand more. He's not discounted, although his rivals will know what to expect and he may just not get an easy time up front. So he's going to find life a little bit tougher. I'm not discounting him, but he will find things a bit tougher up two grades. King of the Celts, Tim Easterby trains, another last time out course and distance winner, up £4 and up a grade. But he has shown a liking for this track time and time again. And he's a definite player. He's won off higher in the past. Rachel Richardson got a really good tune out of him last time, and that will have done his confidence no end of good. And I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat, King of the Celts. But I'm going to give the vote to Miss Lucy Jane, who was 2 from 2 over this course and distance this time last year, and does look as though she's running herself into that level of form. Very well handicapped, and definitely went into a few notebooks after that run at Chester last time. And this is coming to her time of year. So Miss Lucy Jane gets the vote, Mark.
Miss Lucy Jane for Mick then in that one. The 4:15 at Beverley is the next race we look at. This one is a mile and a half handicap, a class 4 event for 4-year-olds and older. Another field of 8 here, Mick, but we'll start here with Voice from Above down at the bottom of the weights. Was a winner at Hamilton last time. My concern would be all the form seems to be a bit of giving the ground.
Yeah, and at Hamilton as well, Mark. Yeah. She seems to save her best for there, doesn't she?
She has won at
here before. She has won here at Beverley as a course winner, but as you say, likes a bit of juice in the ground. Could be some rain about here and there. But anyway, on the debit side, she's up from class 6. And the worry for me is, Mark, she did not follow up her June win last year in the Hamilton race. Last year when she won it, she didn't follow it up next time. She was very disappointed for the next two or three runs. That would just worry me slightly about Voice from Above. Duke of Yorkshire, turned by Tim Easterby, same mark as when 4 lengths second of 11 to the thriving Tim Panalli, who we just spoke about, runs in our 3:15. So this will give us a guide to Duke of Yorkshire's chances, however Tim Panalli runs. And I think a reproduction of that, though, puts him right in the mix in this, because I don't think there are as many dangers in this as there are in Tim Panalli's race. So I think Duke of Yorkshire's not without a chance. But I'm going to give the vote to Gang Warfare, who is now trained by Simon Crisford. One start for Simon since leaving Ollie Stevens. And he's unexposed, in very good hands, well-treated on the best of his three-year-old form. There was a couple of runs there last year that really stand out for me off of Marcus 70 here, with that run under his belt where he was never really sort of at the races, but he'll come on a ton for that, and he's very much the one to beat against this level of opposition. So Gang Warfare gets the vote for me in that 4:15.
So it's Gang Warfare for Mick there then. And the final race we look at is the 8 o'clock at Newton Abbott. It's a handicap chase here of the extended 2.5 miles, a class 4 event with 8 of them in the lineup here, Mick. Who do you side with there?
Yeah, this is not too strong a form profile race, this. I suppose we'll start with the top weight lad from Highworth. He's a fairly consistent performer. Went up 3 for finishing second at Fontwell, which we could have done without. That means a career best is required. But he's entitled to be better for the run. That was after 8 months off. Remains £5 higher than his last win. And is 0 from 3 here. But has got to go on the shortlist. Is there a difference? Narmal Holland trains, Noel Feely rides. He's been fairly consistent. But he did struggle, worryingly, in his first run in the hundreds at Huntingdon after his Taunton win. Was beaten a long old way when his mark crept into the hundreds, and he'd gone into it in goodish form. So that is a worry, but he's still a player because he brings at least some form into it. Handsome Horace just had the one start over fences. That was last time. Made too many mistakes and got very tired close home on his chasing debut. I think he's the type to make a better chaser, and he's still only 5, so he's got time on his side. He should improve, but he will have to cut out the mistakes. And I'm going to give the vote to Sinovator, who didn't cope with that big weight, I think, last time. Did a lot of the donkey work as well. It was a point to point in Devon last time, somewhere down in Devon, and he was beating four lengths in the end. But the Wallacotts know what they're doing, and he's got in here off 111. And in a race that might not take much winning, I'm going to side with Cinevator. I'll probably find 11 stone 8 more to his liking than 12 stone 7 that he's got to carry in point to points. So I'll take a chance on him in a race with more questions than answers, I'm afraid, Mark.
Yeah, it's a tricky old contest, that.
Very much so, yeah.
8 o'clock. Let's have a quick summary then, Mick, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
In the Brighton 3 o'clock, I like the look of the Flying Bear. He's a pretty consistent performer, and as I said, his record at Goodwood suggests an undulations won't faze him. 3:15 at Beverley, we're going with Miss Lucy Jane, who was in really good form this time last year. Course and distance winner here. 2 from 2 at the track this time last year, and he's back to a winning mark. In the 4:15, Gang Warfare, only having his second start for Simon Crisford. If he reproduces his best three-year-old form, he'll beat these if he can get back to that level of form. And that, with that run under his belt 3 weeks ago, he ought to do. And in the one race over jumps that we're looking at, the 2.5 mile handicap chase at Newton Abbott, Cinevator comes into this from the point-to-point field, and I think he'll appreciate having a stone less on his back and the services of Darrell Jacob as well to help.
Yeah, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. It's Brighton and Beverley in the afternoon, Leicester and Newton Abbott in the evening, and we've also got Racing Over an Island from Ballinrobe. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.